Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Doing great, my friend. Going to be a good conversation today. And I think we're going to have some good aha moments that are going to come out of today's conversation and some of the nuances, and hopefully give you guys some real life actionable things as we always embark to do on when we have these conversations on the podcast. So shout out to all of you listeners that have been with us on this journey for a while. If you guys are new to the podcast, you can go back and listen to the first few episodes and learn more about who we are and our journey and why it is that we're in the 90s now in terms of amount of episodes that we've put out and how we continue to find and redefine, you know, how we apply the Fasting for Life lifestyle, how we get fasting and work fasting into our day-to-day lives. And this is really all based around losing the weight, regaining your health, and living that life to your fullest optimum potential and what that looks like for you as the individual listener. So
yeah,
today's topic is going to hopefully simplify a lot of complex different conversations and potential health-related issues. And we're going to talk about blood pressure and kidneys and heart, cardiovascular risk disease, and all of the different layers in between. And we're also going to talk about why you pee so much when you start fasting and what's actually happening. And Tommy's laughing like, did you just say that? Yeah, TMI. But why you're running to the bathroom and what you should do about it. And is that normal? And what you can expect to see in terms of changes related to blood pressure and blood volume as you start to adopt the fasting lifestyle.
Yeah. And I think it was interesting how this conversation kind of came about, because going through the challenges and Q&As and things like that, and one of the most common questions that we get is like, I just started fasting. Is this normal? I'm feeling like a little bit of blood pressure changes. I'm like you said, I'm having to run to the bathroom a lot. Is that normal? Is that part of the process? And just kind of, there's some issues that can come up, like right at the beginning when you start fasting, and as you kind of make the adjustment, as your insulin rebalances, and just a lot of processes that go along.
Yeah, it's really going to start from, okay, what do we see? What do we hear? What are the questions we get? And one of the biggest benefits to fasting is the fact that it helps get to the underlying cause of things like weight loss resistance, insulin resistance, and things in that light. So never mind does the scale come down, but you also see these health benefits as well. And if you've been on the calorie counting, macro tracking, work out more, eat less, kind of low and slow plan, then you've probably ran into some of these sticking points along the way. You've come to fasting for weight loss in most cases, just like you and I had, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the things that you're going to encounter? And then what are the things that we can expect to see in terms of changes in some of these health metrics? And that's why I kind of, jokingly said, well, you're going to run to the bathroom a lot. So what is happening there? And the fact that when you start fasting, you're going to experience this thing called diuresis, which is your body is excreting water through the kidneys, and it's all hormone controlled, just like fat storage or fat burning from, where insulin is that on off switch. But why is that happening? And then what are those small changes you can expect to see? And then more importantly, how that affects those cardiovascular related issues, kidney related issues, blood pressure related issues, et cetera.
Yeah. It's crazy because it all starts with that, with what you just said, that diuresis. And that goes along with those first few pounds that you can lose if you've started any weight loss plan that's been effective, like right at the beginning, especially if you came off of just really kind of unintentional eating, right? Like poor food choices, or, you know, overindulgence and things like that, processed carbohydrates. And if you lost those first few pounds, you may have noticed, depending on how quickly it happened, that you were peeing a lot. And that goes along with the diuresis. And that diuresis is actually caused by insulin levels coming down. So if you've been going throughout your day-to-day life and insulin levels have been high, you've been holding on to more salt and more water. And then when you go into any weight loss plan that's actually effective, but if you start fasting especially, you can see these effects very quickly. Insulin can come down very quickly. You have a quick diuretic effect, and that can be multiple pounds that drop. That can be the water weight. And that's actually some of the glycogen stores that you have leaving the body or being burned, and then the water and salt leaving the body through the kidney, being excreted through the kidney.
So one of the things here is that it's okay. So it's like, what are we here? What are the questions we get? And it, mm-hmm. you know, the bathroom question's one, the water question's one.
Why am I so thirsty?
Yeah. Why am I thirsty? So we encourage to increase your water and electrolytes, things like Himalayan sea salt, a good quality sea salt, like a Redmond's or a trace mineral, something that's going to help balance out those electrolytes. And mm-hmm. we're going to explain just briefly from a science perspective what's happening. But one of the studies that we first referenced to kind of have the, you know, start to unpack the conversation of how do we connect the dots and why is it important? You know, this was back in the 1950s, 1953, and the title was Anti-Diuresis Associated with the Administration of Insulin. So in the study, they started administering insulin to patients. And what they found was that the body would retain, so it'd be the opposite of diuresis, diuretic, which is the flushing, right? Mm-hmm. It would, the opposite happened. When insulin levels raised, what was the mechanism? Well, there's a hormone that controls the reabsorption of sodium, which then comes with the water portion, right? That mm-hmm. pulls the water back into the body.
Yeah.
And that's aldosterone. So that is a hormone that is created by your adrenal glands, which we'll get back to here in a minute. So when you start fasting, Tommy, the insulin crashes, right? Because you're not yeah. having three meals a day, plus snacks, plus flavored waters, plus, you know,
sodas, you know, juices,
all the stuff, plus this, you know, the half eaten Applegate maple turkey sausage off your
right
child's plate as
anything
you're cleaning
and
up
everything
the, yeah yeah the third meal that you've made them that they haven't eaten that day. I know it's right. just us, no other kids do that, but
no.
So it's you don't have that high level of insulin, so insulin actually will drop, which then drops aldosterone, and aldosterone again is a is a messenger that is created by your adrenal. So we're going to touch on the adrenal and the stress component of this too in just a minute.
Yeah, because it's all interrelated, and that's why we started off by saying, you know, we're going to hopefully land the plane and simplify a few, you know, overarching kind of themes. And there's a lot of arrows pointing in a lot of different directions when you look at any, you know, schematics on this stuff, like in a physiology textbook. And we're trying to make it, you know, a little bit more actionable here. And the reason why is because when you first start off with fasting, you can experience some of those things where you're losing a lot of water all of a sudden, and now I'm more thirsty and I've dropped a few pounds and I think it might be water weight. So why is it? So when we start looking at the next level of this and we start talking about the hormonal component, it's interesting too, because you just mentioned aldosterone, and the fat cells that we're already holding onto are also playing a role on the aldosterone system. And our fat cells are actually sending out more messenger signals to further increase the aldosterone. So further increasing the sodium and water retention, leading to more of that swelling. I'm holding on to water. My blood pressure is raised because of it. And so the fat cells that we're already holding onto are making that problem worse, right?
Hey, fasting fam, want to let you know about an incredible company that we've partnered with, AquaTrue.com. Promo code fasting for life to receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. These are not your old school pitcher filters or your refrigerator filters. We're talking about a proprietary 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process. Their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing, which if you've priced those whole home water filtration systems, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These incredible countertop versions. They do have one under sink mounting model as well. but they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, like I mentioned, and they're specifically designed to combat this new group of chemicals that the Environmental Working Group has done a deep dive on, these forever chemicals called PFAS or PFASs. These are in 45% of our U.S. tap water. 45%. These things can lead to endocrine system disruption, certain types of cancers, liver toxicity. And I'm so glad that there's now a countertop affordable version of this incredible technology. So as we fast, we know that water, outside of a little black coffee and tea, is the only thing that we drink. So if we're trying to get the biggest bang for our buck, we're trying to increase autophagy, allow our bodies to heal, shed the weight, get healthy, reverse disease, then why not give it the absolute best quality water that you can? So AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. It even makes a great gift, like I mentioned, my aunt and uncle. Today, as one of our loyal listeners, if you support them, you're supporting us. You're going to get 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatru.com. That's AQUATRU.com and enter code FASTING FOR LIFE, FASTINGFORLIFE. That's 20% off any of the AquaTrue water purifiers at aquatru.com.
So how can we get the weight off, you know, quickly and effectively and safely as well, not to have the rebound or the regain as you know, a lot of us have dealt with over the years, or people that are coming to fasting and intermittent fasting type of lifestyle.
Sure.
You mentioned something there about blood pressure that was really interesting to me, because what we're finding is that salt has been demonized, right? So
yeah,
when we talk about increasing your salt intake using Himalayan salt, trace minerals, or electrolytes, you're really wanting to balance that effect of that negative effect of aldosterone on the kidney, which yeah. is, you know, long-term can have high long-term chronic blood pressure, can lead to oxidative stress, damage to the DNA. Mm-hmm. It can affect, you know, congestive heart failure. You can have flutters and fibrillations and fibrosis of the heart and the different ventricles. You can have cardiovascular disease or cerebrovascular diseases or strokes. You can have plaquing in the arteries. You know, so having that long-term high blood pressure is something that, you know, the reduction of sodium has been one of the core competencies or core things that's recommended to counteract mm-hmm. your yeah. rising blood pressure. And if you look at the different medications that are out there, and this is not medical advice, so don't go to your doctor and say, hey, listen to this podcast, and they said to, you know, stop taking my blood pressure medication because it's not right. fixing the problem. My encouragement is to, you know, think through this and then have the conversation. Am I addressing the underlying issue? So what, there's two things here to help regulate aldosterone. If the goal is to decrease, right, the fat, which is sending the signals, putting more stress on the adrenals, which is causing the adrenals to stimulate more aldosterone, which is then telling the kidneys to retain water and increase the swelling and the blood volume that you have right. on your body, right? The water yeah. weight in general. And then it has all those effects on all of those different organ tissues, heart, brain, kidneys, you know, blood vessels that we just talked about.
Right.
How do you counteract that? Well, it's contrary to the standard status quo, watch your sodium intake. And what I mean by that is too little sodium, not too much, is the stressor that causes the adrenals to produce more of the hormone that causes your body to retain water.
Correct. Yeah.
Which then allows more glycogen storage, which then allows all of that swelling and stuff we talked about.
Yeah.
So that's number one. And number two is the ways to decrease this would be to manage your insulin levels. And the studies show that insulin acts directly on the adrenal gland, bumping up the production of those adrenal steroids, which is the aldosterone. So you've got like a trifecta of issues here. Mm-hmm. And this is where fasting comes into play, truly.
Yeah, because when insulin levels rise to the level of an overweight to an obese person, not necessarily somebody who's a diabetic person. When insulin levels rise to those levels, we have a 50% reduction in salt and water clearance through the kidney. That means that you're clearing out that stuff in it takes you twice as long to clear out the same amount of water and sodium. So that leads to overall water retention, much, much bigger swings in things that you could actually see on a day-to-day basis, like the swelling in different parts of the body and things like that. And, you know, the aldosterone issue itself is just being perpetuated by the adipose tissue. So like you said, you know, work on getting the fat off and bringing the insulin level down. And then you can have a really powerful effect on all of these issues in a very short order of time.
Yeah, there's a lot of arrows here, right? So yeah. You've got the fat cells that are producing, you know, resistin and leptin resistance, which is telling your body that you're not full, and it's increasing your insulin resistance or decreasing the effectiveness of the insulin. So you need more, yeah. which can lead to prediabetes and diabetes, chronic inflammation based on a low level activation of the immune system. Aldosterone also mimics some of those same things and leads to the retention of water. So we've been told for decades that watch your salt content. Now, I'm not talking about like the Morton's table salt. Like I'm talking, or like the prepackaged foods that have the sodium in it. I'm talking about like real salt. So removing those and putting in real sources of salt. So a good Celtic sea salt, a Redmond's, a good trace mineral, that Concentrace company that you and I use and we love, the Himalayan salt. That is actually going to have the exact opposite effect. And this is why when we see these results inside of our challenges and our coaching and whatnot, when we're doing the one-on-one, is that people will be like, hey, I'm feeling kind of weird. Like I got a little fuzzy. I'm kind of not lightheaded, but I'm just kind of like, I feel a little fatigued. And like, okay, well, are just you taking blood pressure medication?
Yeah,
a little off, right? Yeah, well, you're feeling these transitions. And I remember my dad who was here visiting, and he was like 40 pounds down off of like 10 meds. And he had a couple left. He had a couple blood pressure. He had, I want to talk about diuretics in a second. He had a diuretic, he had an antihypertensive. And I remember him like just getting super tired. And I was like, I was out, came home. My mom's like, Dad, that's just not feeling good. I'm like, here is 3 teaspoons of Himalayan salt. Have him chug this. And within 20 minutes, he was back up. We tested his blood pressure. And it was back within normal range, but his pulse was still really low. So I started doing some research, and you know, I looked up the last few remaining medications that he was on, and one of them actually caused your pulse and your heart rate to dip. So he called his doctor. Doctor took him off 2 medications just based off of his most recent changes and the quick weight loss, and he's never gone back on them because he maintains the fasting lifestyle. He's able to keep the blood volume balance by using good sources of salt and sodium and the fasting windows, keeping the insulin down, which is keeping the stress off of the adrenals, which is producing the aldosterone, which is pretty much the crux of the problem compared to the medical system, which is here's a medication to lower it. And your body says, well, no, I want it to be high for a reason.
Yeah.
So it keeps pushing against it.
Right. It's crazy. And you know, even that one thing, the watch your salt intake, the problem there that you alluded to was that the aldosterone levels actually come up as our sodium intake goes down. But the reason it does that is because it's a protective mechanism within the body so that it can hold on to what little salt is coming into the system, because our body has to have salt in order to create the right osmotic balance between our cells. So we have to have that salt so we can hold on to the water that we need to stay hydrated. So when we lower our sodium intake, the body starts waving red flags all around.
Yeah. And it's interesting because a lot of the common practices out there, you know, using diuretics or angiotensin II receptor blockers or calcium channel blockers or ACE inhibitors or beta blockers or renin blockers or alpha blockers or alpha beta blockers or central, I mean, the vasodilators, but there is one called aldosterone antagonist. It's the opposite of aldosterone. It's literally trying to tell your body, let this fluid go so I can lower the blood pressure and take the stress off of the arteries, the kidneys, the brain blood vessels, and all of the heart structures. So it's that chronic stressor, right? Long term. And that's what I love about fasting, because even within just a week, you can see, you know, 10, 20 point drops in blood pressure. And it's not that your blood sugar is dropping. If you're, let's say you're a pre-diabetic or you think you have some insulin resistance or your blood sugar numbers are elevated, or maybe you are diabetic and you're on insulin, in most situations, unless there's a rare tumor in the pancreas, an insulinoma, then the danger, air quotes danger, as this is an audio medium, of your blood sugar going too low is extremely rare. It's darn near impossible. So it's not that your blood sugar is dropping. It's that there are medications that are pushing it down.
Right.
And your body is trying to respond. So it's like we're taking care of the end result. Like we're putting just a piece of tape over mm-hmm. the check engine light
yeah.
that comes on in your car. Like you're going to end up broken down on the side of the road eventually, right? Like, so what I love about fasting and then insulin coming down, aldosterone coming down, all of those other factors coming down, you losing the weight, getting the fat off of your body.
Right.
Your body actually has the ability to heal and get to the upstream cause of the issue and not just the effect.
Yeah. The crazy part is like, we can go years and years and even decades with some extra body fat, right? And some yeah. higher than we should insulin.
Winter level. Is coming.
Yeah. Some winter storage. Is coming, right? Like we're storing it away, but you know, over time, you know, even just a few extra pounds starts to take a toll on the smallest capillary beds, like the smallest blood vessels, the smallest arteries, the smallest nerves. And that's why, you know, over time, like tingling in the fingers and all kinds of like little things start to happen. Right. But as we can kind of balance these systems out, like the human body wasn't really designed to have all this extra weight on it with all this extra blood volume and blood pressure going through it. And it circulates right. all day, all every second of the day. And the effects are cumulative over time, especially over years and decades.
This would be a weird analogy, but we here in Houston over the last couple of years, we've had some really cold weather. Mm-hmm. And I've learned through not knowing how to winterize a sprinkler system that there has been a couple of backflow issues over the years. Yeah. So you do everything right and you're set. And then we get like 3 nights of below freezing temperature and you guys that live in Canada or like the mountains are thinking yeah. like, oh, wow. Yeah.
Boo-hoo.
Yeah. Boo-hoo. It gets negative 58 in Minnesota, right? Well, things aren't built here for that. Right.
We're not prepared. Yeah.
My point is everything backs up to the point where something pops, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have this chronic high level, low level inflammation, high blood pressure, yes, in the short term, it does make sense to try to decrease it. But is it truly getting to the underlying cause? No, it's not. So looking, you know, just to kind of put a bow on it, there was one other article that you and I were kind of going back and forth about, and this was published much more recently in August of 2010. Mm-hmm. And it's salt, aldosterone, and insulin resistance impact on the cardiovascular system. So a lot of those connections, and this was in you know, people that were obese, air quotes, healthy, obese, young men and women. And then there were yeah. also the categories that looked at the groups of people that had cardiovascular disease, kidney disease, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, et cetera. And we know that through all of the connections, the simplest way, the simplest answer is right in front of us. And that is sticking with a consistent fasting schedule, and you don't need all of the other stuff.
Yeah. It's amazing how far fasting will take you. Like a little bit of fasting goes a long way. And as far as just seeing the decrease in the insulin, and I mean, just jumping into your first, like your first 18-hour fast, if you've never done any sort of timed eating, is going to help bring down some insulin levels. Right. And if you're already fasting, taking it a little bit longer means that you have that many more hours for the insulin to come down, for the blood sugar to come down, and you don't need to keep pumping out as much insulin to shuttle all the fuel into the cells, and which means the water levels have a chance to come down, water weight mm-hmm. comes off, and things start to balance, like, you know, almost immediately. Like it's going to take some time, right? But the first couple of steps can happen very quickly.
And if you're new, or if you're wondering what insulin resistance is, or if you have it, there are some blood tests that you can ask your doctor to order. They're not commonly ordered, the fasting insulin test. But the insulin resistance assessment that we have on the website under the resources tab, some mm-hmm. of the things that you might be experiencing if you have insulin resistance would be, do you feel hungry immediately, you know, after eating? Do you feel irritable or fatigued or hangry? Do you seem to retain water after eating salty foods? Now, we're not talking about the Himalayan salt and the trace minerals, but we're talking like the sodium filled foods, I should say.
Sure, yeah.
Do you get tired after a meal? Do you crave? Do you have cravings? Mm-hmm. Tired in the afternoon? Do you gain weight easily? Like if you overeat carbohydrates, these are all things that are indicating that the insulin is high, aldosterone is high, and you're on a path towards blood sugar problems, pre-diabetes, and then diabetes, and all the other heart and systemic related problems. So if you have not taken the insulin insulin resistance assessment. That's a mouthful. You can head to the website, www.thefastingforlife.com. And Tommy, as words of encouragement for someone that is new or someone that's struggling with the diuretic blood pressure, can't seem to just get traction, is having trouble like wrapping their brain around it. Like, how do we take someone from there to the aha moment of, oh my gosh, this is working?
Yeah. I'm thinking back 10, 12 years ago when my blood pressure started to creep up just a little bit and I wasn't quite sure. And then I'd have the
occasional. I was 30.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I work out 6 days a week. Like I've got 20 inch biceps. I can, you know, bench press a Buick. I'm like, what am I doing? I could run 5 miles. I can run a 5K. I'm like, what am I doing wrong?
Right. What am I doing wrong? And it just seems to be creeping up, but it's kind of unpredictable. Like, what about the swelling or the fluid retention every once in a while? Like, I can't quite seem to get a handle on it, you know, but put that together with the volatility on the scale. And I would see the water weight come and go. And it turns out it was carbohydrate and insulin, you know, dependent. Right. But mm-hmm. I didn't realize it at the time. So words of encouragement would be, if you haven't fasted before, if you haven't really done like deliberate timed eating windows and fasting windows, then start there. And if you have, and you're still like, I'm still battling with some of this stuff a little bit, then push your fasting window just a little bit longer, give your body a little longer chance to rebalance some of these insulin levels, aldosterone, and watch things start to kind of fall back into place a little bit better.
Yeah. And if you've been, that's a good point. If you've been doing IF, as we kind of put a bow on today, intermittent fasting, like a 16 or an 18 hour window, mm-hmm. Or you've even been doing something up to like a one meal a day, right? And you still haven't seen that drop, then you're going to want to push from 18 to 22 or 24. Easy way to do that is have an easy, an early dinner one night and then a later dinner the next night will get you mm-hmm. past that 22 to 24 hour mark.
Yeah.
If you want to go past that, you can do a lunch to the following day dinner, which is a 30 hour fast. You got a nice good sleep in there. You wake up the next morning, you're typically not hungry. You got some black coffee to get you through the early afternoon hours. You're going to do the salt or Himalayan salt a couple times throughout that process. And you should notice just this, pun intended, this weight, this fluffiness, mm-hmm. this fuzziness just come off of you. So encouragement, if you haven't seen it yet, or you haven't broken through that yet, it is right there. It is right around the corner. And we want to encourage you to, again, go to the website. You can download the Fast Start Guide. It's 6 steps to putting in one meal a day fasting into your life, into your lifestyle, or the insulin resistance assessment. If you've been following us for a while and you want to get a little bit more clarity, and maybe why you're not seeing the results that you've been looking for, or if you've hit a plateau, or if you just want to get a little bit more granular with your health journey. So, Tommy, I think we got it, man. What do you think?
Yeah. I think it's good.
All right. Thank you, Sarah, as always, for the conversation. I appreciate you guys listening. If you want to drop us a review, we prefer the 5-star kind, of course. That tells the people in charge at Apple and Spotify and all the places that you listen to your podcast that we are doing good work and that people want to listen. So appreciate you guys as listeners. Keep up the great work, Tommy. Thank you, sir. And we will talk soon.
Thank you. Bye. So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start Guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.